Welcome to a very special edition of Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. Today, we had the pleasure of speaking with Suresh S. Ramalingam, MD, Deputy Director of Winship Cancer Institute of Emory University, to discuss the recent FDA approval of nivolumab plus ipilimumab for the first-line treatment of patients with metastatic non-small cell lung cancer. On May 15, 2020, the FDA approved the combination for use in patients whose tumors do not harbor EGFR or ALK genomic tumor aberrations and whose tumors express a PD-L1 level of at least 1% as determined by an FDA-approved test. The FDA simultaneously approved the PD-L1 immunohistochemistry 28-8 PharmDx test as a companion diagnostic for identifying appropriate patients to receive the dual immunotherapy regimen. The approval is based on findings from the multi-part Phase 3 CheckMate 227 trial, in which investigators evaluated first-line nivolumab-based regimens versus platinum doublet chemotherapy in patients with advanced non-small cell lung cancer across non-squamous and squamous histologies. In Part 1A of the study, nivolumab plus low-dose ipilimumab or nivolumab alone was compared with chemotherapy in patients with PD-L1 positive non-small cell lung cancer. In Part 1B, nivolumab, low-dose ipilimumab, and chemotherapy was compared with chemotherapy alone in patients whose tumors do not express PD-L1. In Part 2 of CheckMate 227, nivolumab plus chemotherapy was compared with chemotherapy alone in patients with advanced non-small cell lung cancer, regardless of PD-L1 expression. Nivolumab was administered at 3 mg per kilogram every 2 weeks, and in the combination arm, 1 mg per kilogram of ipilimumab was given every 6 weeks. Treatment was administered until disease progression, unacceptable toxicity, or for up to 2 years. In the cohort of patients with at least 1% PD-L1 expression, the 1 and 2 year overall survival rates were 63% and 40% respectively with nivolumab and ipilimumab, and 56% and 33% respectively with chemotherapy. An exploratory analysis was conducted in the combination arm, the single-agent nivolumab arm, and the chemotherapy alone arm in patients whose tumors had a PD-L1 expression of at least 1%. Here, the median overall survival was 17.1 months, 15.7 months, and 14.9 months respectively. Additionally, the one-year overall survival rates for the combination, nivolumab, and chemotherapy were 63%, 57%, and 56% respectively. The 2 year overall survival rates were 40%, 36%, and 33% respectively. Grade 3-4 treatment-related adverse events were reported in 32.8%, 19%, and 36% of patients in the nivolumab, ipilimumab, single-agent nivolumab, and chemotherapy arms respectively. 3 year follow-up results from the trial that were presented at the 2020 American Society of Clinical Oncology Virtual Scientific Program showed that the combination of nivolumab and ipilimumab continued to provide durable and long-term efficacy benefits versus chemotherapy in patients with advanced non-small cell lung cancer, regardless of PD-L1 expression. The 3 year overall survival rates in patients with PD-L1 expression of at least 1% were 33% with nivolumab and ipilimumab versus 22% with chemotherapy. The 3 year overall survival rates in patients with PD-L1 expression of less than 1% were 34% and 15% respectively. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Ramalingam, who is also a professor in the Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology and the Roberto C. Guazzetta Distinguished Chair for Cancer Research at Emory University School of Medicine, shed light on key findings from the CheckMate 227 trial. He also discussed the impact of the approval on other frontline treatment regimens in the metastatic setting and highlighted ongoing research with immunotherapy in the field. Before we get into the approval and the data that led to the approval, could you provide me with an overview of the use of immunotherapy in advanced non-small cell lung cancer currently?
So we use immunotherapy for patients with newly diagnosed non-small cell lung cancer based on first whether or not they have a targetable driver mutation. So patients whose tumors have a mutation such as EGFR or ALK, there are about seven such molecular aberrations in lung cancer that we have approved therapies for now. So for those patients, we would use targeted therapy. For patients who don't have those mutations, we use immunotherapy. And how we use depends on the patient's PD-L1 expression level. If the tumor has high PD-L1 expression level, which is defined as greater than 50%, then we would give pembrolizumab, and more recently atezolizumab has also been approved in that space. If a patient has lower PD-L1 expression, defined as less than 50%, then we would give them chemotherapy plus pembrolizumab in that space, or chemotherapy plus atezolizumab and bevacizumab. So those are two broadly available immunotherapy approaches. That's the current standard of care for patients with advanced stage non-small cell lung cancer.
We saw the approval of the frontline combination of nivolumab and ipilimumab for patients with PD-L1 positive non-small cell lung cancer. So how will this impact the treatment paradigm for those patients?
So the CheckMate 227 trial provided the data for the approval of nivolumab and ipilimumab. This trial compared this combination double immunotherapy approach against chemotherapy or against just nivolumab alone in the PD-L1 high patients. It also looked at PD-L1 low patients. The primary endpoint was the PD-L1 expression greater than 1% population. And we saw improvement in overall survival for the Nivo-EP regimen compared to chemotherapy. What was also impressive in that study was the duration of response was almost 2 years for patients who received Nivo and EP, compared to only about 6 months or so for patients who got chemotherapy alone. So the ability to achieve long-term responses is something that's impressive about the regimen of ipilimumab and nivolumab. Now, this regimen is already being used for other cancers like melanoma and renal cell cancer. So physicians are already aware of this combination approach. I feel that with the approval in the greater than 1% population, this regimen will be a good non-chemotherapy option for patients, specifically those in the PD-L1 less than 50% group. I feel that for the high PD-L1 group who have greater than 50%, pembrolizumab alone or atezolizumab alone are effective therapy, so they may not be considered for this combination. But if somebody has lower PD-L1 expression and a physician is considering using chemo plus an IO approach, I think the combination of Nivo and Ipi would be a relevant alternative option for patients to consider.
And what do we know about the toxicity profile of the combination, especially with its use in other cancers?
Now, the dose of Nivo and Ipi used for lung cancer is slightly different from what's used for certain other cancers. So the Nivo is given at its 3 mg/kg dose. Now it's a fixed dose. And EP is given at 1 mg every 6 weeks. With this dose, the autoimmune toxicity profile is much better compared to using EP at a higher dose of 3 mg/kg. What we've seen in the CheckMate 227 trial is that toxicity-related treatment discontinuation rate was relatively low, in the order of low teens for patients who got EP and Nivo. And those toxicities were primarily seen in the first 6 months of therapy. Once the patients got beyond 6 months, there was relatively low incidence of autoimmune adverse events. So for most of these instances, we're able to treat it with appropriate supportive care and resume therapy. Obviously, if a patient has greater grade of toxicity, we may not continue therapy, but that's probably a very small percentage of patients.
Immune-related adverse events can become very severe very quickly. So what should people be looking for if they're going to pursue a regimen like this?
I think as we have done with other immunotherapy approaches in lung cancer and other cancers, patient education is important, and as physicians and care providers to think about what potential symptoms these patients may present with, and educating patients around it is important. Early recognition of these adverse events often results in initiation of appropriate supportive care and management so patients can continue on with therapy without major disruptions. So, having an eye out for these symptoms, knowing what to expect and when to intervene, and what sort of interventions are going to be helpful, are all important sets of information for physicians to have. And there are good publications that help us manage these autoimmune adverse events. So I would refer folks to make sure they're familiar with these approaches.
And now that there are a number of combination regimens in the frontline setting, do you think that, you know, PD-L1 is helping navigate those decisions, or are there any unanswered questions that you would like to see addressed, Syl?
I think PD-L1 expression is helping us right now to guide which approach may be optimal. But we have to recognize that even with using PD-L1 expression, long-term benefits with immunotherapy is limited to a small subset of patients. There's a majority of patients where these agents do not provide durable benefit. So we clearly need to understand what's unique about their immune microenvironment and develop novel approaches to extend the benefit to those patients. And another part of that is to identify markers that can help us who those patients who can achieve durable benefits with existing immunotherapies, so we can use better markers beyond PD-L1 expression.
Is there anything else about the CheckMate 227